gone.
Yeah, the world we knew was gone. Welcome back.
The conditions which framed the tortoise.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Final segment of the first hour here. We have a very special guest. I believe it's Peter Stevens on the line.
G'day, Vinnie.
G'day, mate. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do, mate?
Certainly. I've been involved with inventions in Australia for, 50 years. And some of the things that I was involved with through the Inventors Association as a publicity officer. And I met a number of inventors whom I've helped, one of whom had come up with a rainmaker by the name of Jack Toyer. And I met Jack in 1985, and when he passed away in the early 90s, I was asked by the family if I would continue some of his research and do that sort of thing. And I was sucked into it. That's the only way to put it. So I started rainmaking until 1994, when I went to the annual general meeting of the cotton growers out at Moree, and they told me they didn't want rain. Subsequently, 12 years later, I got asked by an ex-Commonwealth magistrate if I would put the machine back together, please, and have a go at doing it. Does it work? And can you do it? So I indicated that I possibly could, and in 2006, I've got to go to some amazing places around the world, and it's rained every time we've been anywhere. So that's just roughly what's going on.
So you're kind of like one of the moisture farmers on Tatooine off Star Wars.
Sorry?
You're kind of like one of the moisture farmers on Tatooine off of Star Wars.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, possibly. We were looking at the science of what we're doing, and it looks like Dr. Walter Russell and Leo Russell were the ones that perceive what we're doing in their science of atomic suicide and universal one. So, written about in 1921 and also 1957. So what we're able to do is pretty amazing. So I've been to America and had it rain there a couple of times, including places like Death Valley where it doesn't normally rain. And Phoenix, Arizona, that was a lot of fun. So a little bit of excitement down in Florida as well, and over in Waynesboro, Virginia, where we said g'day to Walter and just said thank you for the acknowledgement of the science. So we put a little bit of water into Raleigh in North Carolina so that they didn't have to evacuate the city in the middle of a drought. A little bit of fun.
So just recently, Australia has suffered these massive bushfires, which, as far as I've found out, were actually caused by the government banning the collection of firewood and stopping the normal burn-offs that they do to keep all the scrub and tinder down on the forest floors and stuff like that at down. And you told me that you'd be helping that out by creating a bit of rain for them. And then I hear on the news that there were these massive Queensland floods. Were you the bastard who pulled them off?
G'day, Vinny. Sorry, I couldn't hear that. What was that? Mate, we were out there. We were doing it. We were out at Burke on the 10th of January until the 20th. And we had the machine running for that period of time. The possibility of storms, we certainly helped put out the fires. When I spoke to the Rural Fire Service, the manager at Grafton indicated to me it might be a really nice idea, as the water was now just 40 millimetres from the top of the levee, would I mind turning it off? But we assisted by putting the fires out, as far as I'm aware. That's what our intention was, and it certainly happened. The other cyclone that came down the Queensland coast may have been a result of what we were doing, but it wasn't our intention to cause that. But
so
it did
So there's consequences to the use of this machine.
Well, you will get wet. We're 100% accurate in that. The amount of rain that you get is something that's still in debate. But we've had unlikely events like snow in Baghdad as a result of some of what we've done. We fired into the Mediterranean on the 8th of January 2008, and within 3 days we had rain through Libya, flooding in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and followed by snow in Baghdad. Had never snowed in Baghdad in living memory. But one of the results of some of what we do is that we do get snow on the mountains in unlikely times, or, you know, a typhoon is normally, according to the Chinese, somewhere in late June, July. We actually had one form in April, which is a little bit ahead of time, but not, you know, throughout history it's been shown that it's happened. But it's just unusual that when we're involved, and we're only flicking light with electromagnetics and high static charges back up into the atmosphere. So we're reflecting sunlight. So we start with blue sky, and within several hours, we normally have a cloud bank build up around us and followed by rain. Out at Burke, it lasted for close to 48 hours before we actually had rain, which was highly unlikely. Highly unusual, but the temperatures were also up to the over the 50 mark. So we registered 54.4 on our met stations, and that's pretty hot. That's in Celsius. So the normal thermometers bust at 50. The alcohol thermometers, and you know, mass produced at 50 C. So out at Burke, they would have been absolutely of no use unless they're in the refrigerator. So, yeah, and that had been, we'd been there 6 years before, and at the same time, and we'd driven back through floodwaters, and this time I drove down to Tasmania and helped put out the fires down in Tasmania as well. So, and it's just all done by donation and people have been throwing a little bit of money at us to put petrol in the tank and go out and either help fight fires or bring rain into desolate areas for farmers to get a crop in and fill the dams up. So we're happy to do it.
Well, so how long have you actually been going around doing this?
I started back in 85 with Jack Toyer, but on basically full-time since 2006. So we put it away for 12 years. By the way, there was a 12-year drought. So I got encouraged to maybe try and trick it and get it to rain again. So we did right through central Queensland and up into the Northern Territory. We had it rain in the middle of the dry and busted 132-year-old rainfall records and things like that, because it normally doesn't rain in the dry in the Northern Territory. So we'd just a side view of what we were doing caused rain. So it's a nice way
to look at it. Are you able to make other effects other than just rain?
Yes, we are.
So are you able to dry up clouds and make it sunny?
Yeah, we can turn them off. I believe we can even direct a hurricane or a cyclone or unwind it. Tornadoes, all that sort of stuff. But you don't want to be messing with it for too long. Otherwise, you could cause earthquakes or, you know, other things that, you know, come back to kick your butt. So you do it in a very gentle manner and hopefully don't cause too much devastation to get a little bit of water over your plants and crops and, you know, major national parks, which are leading, like you led to before, about, you know, lots of fire damage because they've cut out the fire trails for four-wheel drive access and things like that for recreation. They used to burn off about every 6 years, and now it's so much low timber and low growth that unless they do burn it off in some aspects, you know, it's going to cause quite a lot of devastation. But, you know, people live close to forests and do get burnt. So.
Yeah. I was under the impression that these most recent spate of forest fires have been the worst ever for Australia. Is that about right?
Oh, Vinny, I have no idea. But it could have been because of the amount of foliage that had been available and, you know, leaf litter and so forth, sitting on the ground, you know, branches and timber and so forth. Unless it's burnt off on a regular basis, you know, the fire gets really hot and burns the trees completely. The other ones just singe and allow the seed pods to germinate. So there's a... the Aboriginals before us had been, you know, going through and lighting fires to keep the animals down and to keep the seeds growing in this light. They weren't serious bushfires. I mean, of course, they would have been in some areas, but lightning strikes and things like that start fires. And I think, you know, they had been burning off in some areas to backburn, you know, against raging fires and things like that, and everything gets out of control. So it's just one of those things where, you know, if you do things in moderation, it's okay. If you do it too excess, well, then it gets out of control.
Kind of like alcoholism. All right. Peter Stevens is my guest, and we'll have him on for one more segment, ladies and gentlemen. So, Peter, just hold on the line there, and we'll talk to you after the break. And also, I wanted to encourage people to donate to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Go to the homepage there and click on the donate button. Or if you'd like to donate regularly, you can click on the subscribe button and send us in a regular donation of between $1, $5, $10, or $20 a month, just to keep, you know, the lights on and the internet bills paid, so I can just keep, you know, kind of doing this radio show for you to listen to. And lastly, there's also a bank account number on there, so if you don't like PayPal, and I know a lot of people don't, you can use that one instead. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Alert the masses. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, broadcasting live from the other land down under, New Zealand. Apparently it's the seventh state of Australia, according to the Australian Constitution, from mate what Wayne Levick told me about. And I was just thinking to myself, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Nah, seriously. Anybody who thinks they got national sovereignty, they're fucking kidding themselves. There's no such thing. We're all slaves to the global scumbaggery index, all right? It's on the stock market. You can check it out. You know, I don't... let's just say I'm no longer operating under the delusion that I'm free. All right? I have freedom within a certain bounds, and that's it. And it can be taken away at any point by scumbaggery individuals with a gun and a black hockey mask. My very special guest is Peter Stevens, the Cloud Seeder. Welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Well, we're not so much cloud seeding as in like using silver iodine, but we use reflected light from the ground. And absolutely amazing.
Right, so the cloud shiner.
Cloud China, yeah. Polisher.
Yeah,
so a lot of fun. The other thing that we've been experimenting with are magnets, and we've actually got the normal opposing magnets coming together, and that's shown some amazing events for helping clean water and things like that. So I'd love to discuss that part of it with you as well.
Shoot, go right ahead.
Okay. our website's weathercreation.com, and you can actually see some of what we do on that. We've been playing around with water and cleaning up polluted streams. I actually went to Dhaka in Bangladesh last year to assist in the cleaning up of ponds and rivers to help get rid of the pollution out of some of those streams. And absolutely amazing in our lab that we made, clean water within 3 minutes. Absolutely amazing, you know, from putrid soiled water with all sorts of pollution in it, back to a clean, energized water. So quite amazing. Here in Australia, we have problems with some of the wells with very high minerals, and also sitting on contaminated water, either from fracking with, you know, the coal seam gas, the way in which they pressurize their wells to fractionate and bring gas in and out of different areas has also started to pollute our groundwater. Well, not started, they're doing a bloody good job of it. But the amazing thing is that it looks like we might be able to help clean it up. I also went to Japan after the tsunami that really hit Japan quite badly, and the whole environment is polluted now through the marine environment all around Fukushima and those areas. But now the US is also looking like it's copped some of the radiation just from the floating debris and stuff like that, and the air particles all coming across. Not that it's a fearful thing, but it's just going to be, somebody said, only 30,000 years to fix it unless we come up with a way of being able to solve it or resolve the use of nuclear radiation the way that it is at the moment. It's quite dangerous. You can't see it, smell it, taste it, but it will stop you from being able to produce genetically. I'm concerned for the people of Japan in that manner. The avenue why I went there was that I'd come up with a device that I believe would possibly help. And I ended up being stopped at the airport from taking 7 of the units because of their high magnetic frequency that I wasn't allowed to take them on the aircraft. So I ended up having to go with just the shells and then get the magnets. Whilst I was in Japan, I was only able to rebuild one of those units. And I ended up giving it to Dr. Emoto, who you may be aware of, who does the ice crystals and words and intention on containers beside the water to help clean it up. So I'd heard his prayer and realised that it was quite serious to all of the planet to start to focus on trying to fix this problem. And I think we've got an opportunity to keep doing the research till we get it right. And hopefully our children's children's children have got a place to live, because at this stage it's looking pretty doubtful. But anyway, without any more doom and gloom, it'd be nice to see if we can actually help the planet. We believe we're helping by bringing rain and or pushing cyclones away normally, or hurricanes. We've seen the opportunity to just bring, you know, a glint in the eye of some farmers that know that it's going to rain and actually trust it, put the seed in the ground and actually get a crop in. So quite amazing events. So the magnetic water is, I believe, one of the most important things. It will also help desalinate seawater, all sorts of things like that. So we're just in a very fine or small way at the moment, but we'd like to be able to expand that up.
So Have you ever thought about getting a job with a chemtrail company?
I think they've got enough going on with the aircraft and the chemicals they're throwing out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd really fit within their parameters of working. You know, why are they doing it? You know, really, that's That's the question one should ask. You know, is it to keep the radiation that they've let off in the atmosphere above so that it doesn't come down? You know, that radiation is still up there, guys. You know, it's pretty horrific. So the Nevada test, the Mexico test, New Mexico test, French test, you know, they were playing around down in New Zealand until such time as they blew up the Rainbow Warrior or something in the harbour, didn't they?
What was interesting is when the Rainbow Warrior was blown up, the two French agents who got caught by the New Zealand authorities, we released them after the French threatened to stop importing our lamb's brains or something like that. Apparently they import a freaking heck load of lamb's brains from New Zealand, so they threatened to stop importing them. So we're like, oh, economic consequences for actually arresting proper criminal terrorists that are working for foreign governments. Let's let them back in. And when they went back to France, they got a hero's welcome and a parade, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, that might be the case, but what their great-grandchildren are going to be living with will be even a better consequence. So, you know, but they get the praise and glory now, but eventually it comes back and kicks their butt. So that's the way I see it. But right at the moment, I'm up on the Gold Coast and, mate, the sun's shining, there's a bit of cloud out there, nothing to do with me, but a lot of fun. And thank you very much for having me on your show, Vinny. It's been absolutely wonderful being able to talk to the people in America and all around the world. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And as I understand it, you don't do this very often.
We probably get out there once every 2 years and let people know what we're doing. We pick a medium, either newspaper or like yourself. This is, I think, the second time on Freedom Radio. So I think it was the last one was with Dr. David Morton, and that was absolutely fantastic. They had me on there for 2 hours talking. So I could talk for a little bit longer, if you like. But it's just amazing to see some of the inventions and some of the science of what we're doing and how they've developed. I don't bother patenting anything anymore because it's far better to just give it away and pick up the odd donation and say thank you very much, because if you do the business, they'll rip you off anyway and you just don't feel any good when that happens. Your solicitors end up driving Rolls Royces and you're driving just a very cheap old car, clang, you know.
Yeah, you know,
times when you're just not, you know, focused on the financials where you possibly should be to be able to continue doing what we're doing. But we have a fantastic team, and we've been doing this in groups with my involvement. For instance, with Joe, with the Joe cells, with the water cars, with the water fuel cells for cars and things like that. We've been doing that and gave it away to people all over the world, so that, you know, not that we're fighting against the fuel companies, but just that the environment, the pollution coming out the exhaust needs to be looked at as being clean and green. And that's what I think we're able to do with these fuel cells or the Joe cells. It helps clean up. It also gives you a lot better fuel economy. And if people are interested in that, they could have a look at Joe Cells on the internet and see what we've done. There's quite a few videos on the YouTube as well.
So what's that?
Just amazing.
What's that website for the cells then?
Well, go back through the weathercreation.com and there's a few there. But the website that's used is just generally a Yahoo group called Joe Cells 2. And it's available to look at, and there are lots of discussion and people are trying to do it and, you know, all the problems associated with it. But there are lots of photos of exactly how to do it and follow it through. I'm called Inventor, I-N-G, V-E-N-T-O-R. So I'm an inventor of all sorts of things, which is why I picked up that handle. But it's just exciting to look at some of the technology that we've found, including the magnets, which are amazing. I just love playing with them. It's, I've got them clanging apart and firing together. And I've even got one that flies. So I've got the fields that are normally what we refer to as axial or diametrical. And I've got magnetic fields that, as they cross the path, they actually fly away. So exciting stuff. I think, you know, over the next 30 years, we'll see lots of this technology that we were told didn't exist. The quantum physics and all that sort of thing. You know, the mind becoming more and more powerful and more accepted within society. So the Mendeleev periodic tables of 1901, I think, really need to be supplanted by Dr. Walter Russell's of 1921 and ongoing research that he did in the spiral form of all of nature, including the subatomic and the atomic particles. He was the one who found, it was called a different name, but he found the tritium and deuteriums, the hydrogen isotopes and things like that. And the way in which he did that, he just did reflective sound waves and counted the number of charges and things like that associated with it, and realized that there were elements at that stage that were unknown. And he just wrote on the periodic tables, unknown, just beautiful. So he did a lot of work with Westinghouse's laboratory as well, and some purporting of him making 17 different elements out of water. So all things come from water and go back into it. So that's the exciting thing to sort of be aware of, is that.
And you happen to be
on pressure.
And you happen to be in a position where you can create water.
Yeah, funny about that. Well, the water's already there. We're not creating it. We're just directing it over a certain area to rain. The biggest problem is, in a lot of ways, is that we've gone with deforestation, taking a lot of trees and other areas out, and then we've put water into stagnant ponds called dams because we as humans need it. But a lot of the water actually needs to be moving in through the environment, through trees and plants and, you know, exhalation of, you know, all beings being able to breathe in and out with a certain amount of moisture in the atmosphere. If we keep locking it up in dams, it's no longer in the atmosphere, and therefore we're changing the environment of the planet, and the weight of the water also on the plate tectonics could also be causing other devastating events. But, I mean, that's hypothetical for me, but it's just a possibility that that may be one of the causes. If we keep putting masses of weight of water on the planet, we could actually tip it over in one way. So we could change what the pole is now, north and south. Antarctica, for instance, could come back and be Atlantis again. You know, how fantastic would that be? So, you know, if we keep damming the water, we might end up tipping the planet over, which in some ways, you know, might be a good thing. Old Mother Shipton might be right. Mother Shipton was the prophetess from the 14th century or 15th century. Exciting stuff that she forecast we would be able to do in these times. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of the cause and consequences.
Yeah, nobody ever said playing God was a risk-free business.
Well, not so much playing God, but he sits down with us a fair bit and gives us a bit of a chat.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of this interview now. We've got another 30 seconds or so. So, Peter Stevens, ladies and gentlemen, you can go see his website. Is it weathercreations.com with an S or just weathercreation?
No, without, just weathercreation, without an S, on theweather.com. Right. And we'll look forward to seeing you come by. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, mate. And I guess we'll keep watching the skies, eh?
Yeah, anytime you like. We can bring a bit of snow to New Zealand, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's always good snow skiing over there.
Preferably not. Preferably not. I freaking hate the cold. I hate it. You know.
Look, I come to the back of Earth.
Yeah, but, yeah. Well, I flattered down in Dunedin, bro, and I watched my olive oil freeze at room temperature. Never again. Never again.
Fantastic all talking to you there. Thanks, Benny.
Cheers, Peter. Have a good day, mate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.